to you, or does Bruce see it as a kind of a paradox that, particularly in the past and still now, that a lot of women are trying to make it into our patriarchal society, yet in some ways he's trying to make it into a matriarchal society.
I don't know if he'd want to be told that. But one thing I can say, he can cook. So nobody holds that against him. And he doesn't cook out of a box, so
does he do the cooking at home normally?
Normally he does. Because of the hours I've worked, he's allowed me the time to stay at work to do a good job so that I'm successful. And that's very important, especially in my job, because you're a salaried person. You don't work by the hour. So you work until it's finished. And I believe I'm doing a good job. Because, as I've said before, I think still women... Really, the army is really still a man's army, because the majority of the people in the service are males. And we still make up, I think, less than 10% the females overall in the armed forces. And so you have to work hard. You have to do well. If you do bad, then everybody knows you're bad. And it's like, oh, she's terrible. And if you do well, then everybody knows you do well. There's very few people I would consider be mediocre. People, society still has a tendency to label you one or the other. And so you have to be careful and make sure you do a good job so that you don't get a label. Try very hard not to be labeled while I've been in the military, because people who usually work for you, at least in my experience, have been mostly males who work for me. And I've worked mostly for males, so you're a minority. And you want to do well, and so that they have a positive image of females, because we still gotta educate people. And I think most I've ever had was two females that have ever worked for me, and I was probably harder on them than I was the males, because I wanted them to be successful. I wanted to make sure that they could stand on their own two feet and do a good job, without feeling that they weren't as good as their male counterparts, that they could be competitive with them, and not said, well, you only get promoted because they got to promote a certain percentage of females. They can say, no, I'm promoted because of my capabilities, not because I'm female. A lot of people have a problem with that stuff.
You wanted to give them the benefit of what you've learned going through there, and so hopefully they wouldn't have to learn all of it the hard way. They will learn some of it, I'm sure, the hard way.
Because as a minority, especially females, you have to teach, especially the young privates we get in, the 18-year-olds. And most of the women we got in were older. The average age of the females was more towards closer to 20, where the males was 18. Their education level was usually 2 years of college, quite a few with a four-year degree. And for the males, they were high school, right out of high school. So you might get one or two that doesn't even have a high school diploma, but you never get a female without one. The females who usually join have a very specific goal. They plan on making it a career. And where the guys, a lot of them that we do surveys on, have said, you know, they aren't sure what they're going to do. So you want to make sure, because they are the minority, that they do well, that they're not taken advantage of. Because a lot of females we get to have been in abusive families, and they don't really have a lot of respect for themselves. They don't have a lot of confidence because of it. And so we try to build that confidence up so that they won't be taken advantage of again. And they know what to do. We can't cure those problems. We can help teach them to deal with those problems. It's not saying that men aren't abused, but certainly not in the proportions of the females we get.
What, you've had this education. You had the four-year degree in history, right, from the University of Vermont?
Yes.
We haven't talked much about that. What was college for you?
It was fun. I had a chance to take a running scholarship to a to Norwich University, which is a military, one of the last private military academies left. In fact, civil engineering started at Norwich. And it was a good school, but I really didn't want to be in a military environment, nor did I want to really run for another 4 years competitively, being skinny as a stick. And so I chose to go to the University of Vermont because it had an exceptional history program and political science, which was my other major. And I believe, too, that you've got to enjoy it. I knew I was going to go in the military once I graduated, so I wanted it to be fun. So did I take it as serious as I probably should have? Probably not. I probably had more fun than I should have had. But I did survive, and my grades aren't anything that's going to be in the Hall of Records, but they're not bad. They're good grades. And but overall, I think I had a good time, and I did learn quite a bit. One thing I guess you learn in college is how little you really know. The thing that I really put a lot of emphasis in once I realized that you weren't going to come out there mastery of anything, that I figured the thing I should master is my writing ability. So I spent an exorbitant amount of time learning to write well, from my papers to taking English courses every semester so that I could improve my writing skills. So that's what I focused on really when I went to college.
Also, while you were there, you met Bruce.
Yes. He's the one who used to criticize my papers to the point I wanted to throw the papers at him. But, yes, he certainly helped me learn to fine-tune my writing to make it better. But I met him. He worked in the lab department of the chemistry side. I went down there because I also took science courses when I was in college. That didn't help my grades any. That's my science and my math. But I believed in getting a well-rounded education at all costs. It did cost. And he's the one who set up all the experiments for all the lab work. And I met him and dated him all through college. He went and worked for IBM. He got a job offer at IBM while we were there in Burlington while I was in college. He went off there and we got married right after I graduated. So I've known him since 1980.
And then you joined the Army, and where were you stationed first?
Germany. Frankfurt, Germany.
Immediately.
Yes. But we get to be married for 7 months before I got to taste the domestic side of life. I didn't work for the first 7 months until we actually went on active duty. I had asked for a deferment for that time, for a couple months, at least to get past the wedding. Mm-hmm. So I wouldn't be going to school while we were trying to get a wedding set up. But, he was good. He quit his job to follow me. And he's been following me ever since, like a good friend.
So what are some of the differences, other than the obvious ones, between those first 7 months and the rest of the time?
I hate cleaning house. And I don't like cooking much better. I'd have to say, being a domestic engineer, as my mother called it, you gotta like it. And I definitely did not. It's a job. It's a full-time job. If anything, it's more than a full-time job. Because not only do you work all day, if you have children, but then you have to work until the night, until everybody's in bed. And then you get started over again. And that was just a tad bit much for me. I didn't enjoy it. I like being around people. And I'm not much for volunteer work because I like money. So I said, I have to have a career. I had always planned on having a career. My mother raised my sister and I to look at having careers, not getting married. She never really ever talked to us about marriage. She talked about us about getting an education and getting a job, which was very different from the society that she grew up in. She'll even tell you she went to college. A lot of people went to college to find a husband. My mother got married while she was in college, and so she lacks a semester from finishing her degree. And she said that would never happen to us. She was he would never ever agree to us getting married in college. That if we did, then you might as well fork over the money for yourself to go to school, because she said she wouldn't. That was a good incentive.
How are you raising your children? Have you got a specific plan for them, for your children, for what they should do?
Well, mostly we want them, our overall goal is to make them good members of society, to be have actual input into the community, not just be somebody who stands by and complains about it. Mm-hmm. But we want our kids to be smart, to have common sense, and to be responsible adults. But we try very hard to make sure that they see no color, they don't grow up as racist, or that they don't see, we don't talk about girls doing this or boys doing that. We try to make sure that we try to use kids instead as the terminology, because we don't want our kids to say, well, girls can't do that. In fact, Hubbard's getting a Barbie doll. He wanted a Ken doll for Christmas, and he's getting it. And the twins have their little kitchen set that they love playing with, and we've tried not to stereotype them or steer them into that direction, and try and let the kids develop the way they want to develop.
So you feel if you do it that way, then whatever they choose, you'll be happy with.
That's right.
So if they join the Army, that's fine with you. If they go to IBM, that's fine. Or if they try to become struggling actors.
That's right. It's really whatever they want to do, as long as they know that they're going to do it and be the best at what they do and have that kind of commitment. That's what's important. And Hubbard's growing, wants to grow his hair long. So, okay, Hubbard, you can grow your hair long. He wanted to grow a beard, but we told him he couldn't do that. He says of yet. That's because Bruce's oldest son has a ponytail and a beard. And Hubbard wants one. He wanted both, but now he's just going to settle for the long hair. So we're letting his hair grow. I guess the next thing will probably be the earring, and I'll just have to choke that one back too. I guess they could do worse things, but I think it's important to allow your kids to express themselves and not tell them how they have to express it. Tell them that you have to be this way or that way, except to be nice people. I think that's the key. Nice, responsible people in the community that treat people good. So I think our kids will be whatever they want to be. And they don't have any guns. For somebody who's in the military, I don't approve of handguns, at least for private ownership of them. And I don't own one. I don't ever plan on owning one. Nor will my kids have one as a toy. So we don't have any G.I. Joe stuff. We don't have any guns.
So how do you feel about the issue of gun control for everybody, though? Do you feel that no one should have a gun
for handguns?
For private use?
For handguns, the only thing, being a military police officer, the only thing I see a handgun good for, unless you're in a pistol competition on a regular basis, is to kill people. You use that either, what you say, for defense of yourself or for the offense if you're a criminal. But that's the only thing I've ever seen a handgun used for. I can understand. I have no problem with hunting. I love to duck hunt, and I have a shotgun for it up north. But handguns, I see only one primary purpose for that, and that's for killing people. And people shouldn't be in season for hunting, and that's what people use those handguns for. And I've never been in favor of them.
What about gun control for shotguns and rifles? What type of controls do you think are needed?
I think there should be one centralized computer system.